You know, it's very important that we continue to learn who we are in Christ. There's so much that God wants to show you and to show me in our life about who He made us, because we are new creatures once we're born again. We're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. The old man, the person that you were born the first time, is different than the person you're born the second time. So we want to learn and study a little scripture today to continue investing into the knowledge of Christ, investing into our spiritual man, who we are. Because once you learn who you are, it becomes part of you. You no longer accept who you're not. There's so many believers live their life out of the old man. They live their life out of the creation from their family, instead of walking in power and victory that's been purchased already by the blood of Christ. One of our core verses on this topic is in Romans chapter 5. And we're just going to read verses 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. So this verse is talking about how Adam introduced sin into the whole world by his disobedience. And that tells us how you receive the nature of sin, because Adam was the seed for all mankind. And we thank God for that, because you and I wouldn't exist without Adam being created and being that seed. But now that we came into existence, we want to be born out of the family of Adam and into the family of God. And that's when it says that by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. And that is talking about how Jesus became the seed for the new family called the family of God. And that's who we're born again into. Now I want us to read in John chapter 3. And let's look here about Jesus talking to Nicodemus about being born again. Because for us, that's a common word, born again. But for Nicodemus and for the Old Testament saints, that was a very foreign word. There was a man in verse 1, John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one could do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? So this is an important verse, and I don't want us to skip past it. How can a man be born a second time when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? And so Nicodemus was trying to conclude what Jesus was saying. What do you mean born again? And I want us to look at this, because in our Christian language, sometimes we brush past what being born again is. We think it maybe puts us in a category, we're born again Christians. But more than that, it's talking about a process that happened when you accepted Christ by faith. You were actually born again. And this is important, because if you understand why it's important you're born again, then it helps answer so many questions. So Nicodemus wants to know about the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So born of water and born of Spirit. So what we believe this to mean is you're born the first time in your mother's womb. When Christy was pregnant with Harrison, our firstborn, they told us that his due date was April the 18th, which was Christy's birthday. Sometimes they get the date wrong, or you're a little early or a little late. And Christy did not want Harrison born on her birthday. She wanted him to have his own birthday, and maybe also didn't want him to steal her birthday. So sure enough, on the morning of April 18th, Christy's birthday, her water broke. She told me it was early in the morning. She said, "I think my water broke." And so my answer to her was, "Well, congratulations, and let's go to the doctor." And then I said, "Well, you know, you can never say I didn't give you something on your birthday." And so sure, we went to the doctor and to the hospital and called the doctor. He said, "Come in right away." And that day, Harrison was born, the same day as Christy. They share the same birthday. And so it was her water broke. And so when a baby is formed, it's inside of the water inside of their mother. And so we believe that that's what that means, that born of water, you must first come into existence by being born of the race of Adam. Where do we find people to be born again but from the race of Adam? God's not creating people to be born. They have to first come into existence by the will of man into the race of Adam, by the seed of Adam. But once they're into existence, God wants to get us born again out of the race of Adam and into the family of God, out of the seed of Adam and into the new seed of Christ. That's where we are born into once we're born again by faith. Most assuredly, I say to you that unless one is born of water, so unless you're first come into existence by your mother, and then you get born again in the Spirit, and this, so most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So here he's talking to a man who serves God in the old covenant, and Jesus tells him, you're not going to be able to be born into the kingdom of God or see the kingdom of God until you're born again. You got to be born of the water the first time, but you have to be born of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. So no matter what you do, Nicodemus, no matter how good of a man you are, no matter how much you've served God on the old covenant, you still have to come through Jesus into the kingdom of God. You won't enter into the kingdom of God unless you're born again in the Spirit. You receive that new nature. He goes on in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we're born of the flesh by our earthly parents, but we're born again of the Spirit, by the Spirit, in the Spirit, by the new nature. We're born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. So he says, don't be surprised. This is the process that God has designed for us to be born out of the family of Adam and into the family of God. Many times I've been asked as a preacher and just as a person, well, what about this person? He's a good person. What about that person? They're a good person. They give their money to the poor. They love people. They're gentle. They're kind. They're nice. But their experience with God is trying to find God, but not through Jesus. They're trying to find it through another religion, or maybe just through themselves, through them being good people. And the argument that, hey, I know good people who aren't born again that are better morally than some Christians I know. And that's a sad fact, but that's very true, that there's some very good people out there. And the answer is, good morals don't get you into heaven. The relationship with God is not built on your good morals. It's good on you being born of Him. And so when we get to heaven and we stand before the pearly gates, He's not going to ask, the first question will not be, how good are you? How bad are you? It's not goodness that gets you into heaven. It's not sin that sends you to hell. It's the sin nature that sends you to hell. And it's the new nature that allows you, the new Spirit, that allows you to go into heaven. Because that's your now the family of God. Heaven is only for the family of God. It's not for everyone. So we're all born of Adam. We're all born of woman. We're all born of the water. There's no person who came into this world except through a mother, and they have a father. Every child born has a father and a mother of this world, of the nature of Adam, of the seed of Adam. But then we can be born out of that and born into the Spirit, into God's Spirit, into the new name, by the new nature. We're now born again. And this is the process that Jesus is trying to tell Nicodemus to expect, and also tell him, all your good works, Nicodemus, are not good enough. Nicodemus was a good man, but they're still not good enough to get you into heaven. And this is the answer that people need to know in the world, that yes, I appreciate your good works and your good heart, and your heart to help people, and but you can never confuse goodness and good morals with born again. Christianity is taking people from death, from darkness into light, from death to life, and then God will want you working on your morals. But good morals without a new nature, there's a lot of good people who are going to end up in hell because they've not humbled themselves enough to be born again, to hunger for truth. So Jesus says to him, "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." Now, the process of being born again is by faith in the work that Jesus did. But the transformation that happens, you received a new nature. God reached into the old nature that Adam gave you. When you asked Jesus into your heart, I used to think that I had a little Jesus living in me with a little bedroom and a little kitchen. But now I know that I received his nature. So Alan died the day I was born again. The day I asked Jesus into my heart, the change was so dramatic. I didn't see it, but I could feel it, but I didn't see it. My outward man didn't change, but something changed in me. And what changed was God reached into me and grabbed that old nature that I have, that I got from my parents and from their parents and all the way back to Adam, that nature of sin. That's how sin spread to the whole earth from Adam's disobedience, was he was the seed for the whole human race. All of us came the first time, were born the first time because of that seed, that breath of life that God breathed into Adam, that allowed us to be born the first time. But then God reached into you when you accepted Jesus by faith, which you had to do before you're born again. It wasn't automatic. The work that Jesus did was for the whole earth, but it wasn't automatic. We had to yield our will and accept Christ. And that's why we have to have an acceptance of Jesus. The born-again experience is because God won't interrupt the will of man. If he could interrupt the will of man, he wouldn't wait for you. He would have done it with Adam. He would have reached into Adam and grabbed him first and said, "Stop! You're not going to cause all this brokenness into the world." By our willingness to accept Jesus, by our decision to be born again, by our humility to seek truth, when you bowed your knee to Jesus, that faith, that act of faith, wasn't just the born-again work. That act of faith caused the born-again work, caused God, the Holy Spirit, to be able to reach into you, grab that old nature, and pull it out and destroy it. That's the day I died. Alan died that day. And then he reached into God, grabbed a piece of him, placed it into me, a new nature, resurrected me in newness of life, causing me to be born again. I went to death and back to life and resurrected in newness of life because I received that new nature. I'm now born of a new seed, the seed of Jesus. Now I'm part of a new family. I had a new beginning. Think about it. You've had a new beginning. You started again. That's why old things are passed away. Too many times, us believers, we live our whole life. And let's not do that. Let's not live our whole existence on this earth out of the beginning of our first birth. Let's celebrate and then learn from our second birth who we are. And let's grow from there and mature from there into the fullness that God has for us. I don't want to fall short. I don't want to end short in my race to finish my course with God. And I don't want you to either. I want us to grow and mature and overcome and walk in all that God has for us. And that's going to come from our spirit man, not our old man, not our flesh. So we're born the first time of the will of man. We're born the first time of the seed of Adam, but we're born again into the seed of Christ, of the seed of the Spirit, our inner man, our spiritual man. We receive a new nature that brought to life our inner man, and now we're born of God. Nothing's impossible for us. There's nothing that could stop us or hinder us, not the devil, not this world, not our past failures, not our flesh. There's nothing that can limit us anymore because you and I are children of God. But if we just sit and wait and don't grow in the knowledge of God, we will remain the same. We'll be born again and go to heaven, but our flesh will rule us. Our outward man will rule us in the way that we think, but nothing's impossible when we realize who we're born again as a child of God. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to start in verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man became a living being. Now let's stop there. The first man, Adam, became a living being. Now let's go back while we're here. We'll come back to 1 Corinthians, but let's go all the way back to Genesis, another of our foundational verses. Chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul or a living being. So this is where God took the seed. So Adam was formed from the dust of the ground, and God breathed life. This isn't oxygen. This was the very life in the seed. And in the seed, God created Adam as a seed, and we call it the law of Genesis, where God gave it power in the creation of the seed to reproduce. That if you just plant it, it will reproduce exactly the copy, the same life. So within Adam, God made him the seed for mankind and gave him the power as a seed to replicate and reproduce and replenish the earth without God interfering or being involved. And God's heart was to have a bunch of little creatures running around, little beings that he did not create, that he did not build, that he could get to know in fellowship, an independent being that he could build a beautiful relationship with for every person born. His goal was, his heart was, for us to replenish the earth, to multiply, and him to walk and talk with each of us individually in a beautiful relationship and build that relationship with him. And then we know that the seed, Adam, turned dark when he sinned. So now the seed was twisted. So did God create mankind? Absolutely. God created man. But he didn't create us in the image of what we are. He created us in his image. So the seed of man, Adam, when he sinned, the seed of the world, the seed of the man, was twisted into darkness. So God did not create man now, but he was the original creator. And I say that because we have many sayings in the world where the world, someone will get up on stage, a movie star that's not born again, that serves themselves, doesn't proclaim Jesus as their savior, will get up and say, I just want to say we're all children of God. Can't we just all get along because we're all children of God? And there's a falseness in that, to think that God created every person and put them in their family and that he's involved with their life. And there's a false security in the world that says, hey, we're all children of God. We all go to heaven. Just the really bad people go to hell. Well, it's not the sin acts don't send you to hell. A sin nature sends you to hell, and that's what we're born with. And so when God breathed life in Adam, that's where your first existence came from, because that life that he breathed was the power within the seed, the life within the seed of Adam to reproduce in the mankind. The same way we take an orange and we can trace it all the way back. I can take the orange that we ate, I can take it and find the tree that it came from, and then I can go back in time and trace that tree back to a seed, and then I can trace that seed to an orange, and that orange to a tree, and go back in time and find out that it came all the way from the original seed, the original tree that God created and planted in the Garden of Eden, one orange tree. He planted one orange tree, and that tree grew and produced fruit. And from that one tree, the whole world has been populated with oranges and apples. And every tree came, every vegetable, every creation came from the garden, one singular thing that he created to multiply. Well, he did the same thing with animals, the same thing with man. He made Adam and created from Adam the seed the whole human race. And so when Adam, the seed, changed, the whole human race changed. Let's continue in chapter 3 of Genesis. Adam sinned and Eve was deceived. Adam sinned. Let's just start in verse 13 of chapter 3 of Genesis. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And so God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust, and all the days of your life, and I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." So he says, he prophesies Jesus coming. And this is what he says to the devil, to Satan. "There'll be enmity between you and the woman, because from women, from Mary, from mankind, see, another seed is going to come forth." And he's prophesying about Jesus. Think about, it's amazing the process of Jesus coming, what God had to go through, that he had to take the human race, and then he inserted within the lineage of the human race, within the seed of the human race, he inserted Jesus as a man, born of a woman, born legally of a man. He didn't just pop Jesus on the earth. He had to find a way to legally bring Jesus to the earth within the seed of Adam so he could die and then be resurrected a new seed. And that new seed of Christ is where we are born again and out of the seed of Adam into the seed of Christ. So you can see why Nicodemus, when Jesus said, "You must be born again," Nicodemus said, "Huh? What do you mean I must be born again? How do I, as an old man, do I go back into my mother's womb? How am I born again? What's even possible? That's a miracle to be born again. It's not just a saying. Don't let it be a saying that I'm a born a Christian. Don't let that just be a saying that you have a little tag you wear on your shirt, born again. Let it sink in. You're born of God. You're born again within a new seed, not of the seed of Adam, within the seed of Christ. And that's why he calls Jesus here a seed. A seed, if you think about a seed, any seed of anything, if you think about a seed, within that seed is an image inside that if you just plant it, it has the power to grow and reproduce the same as what it is. So a seed has a power within it. The image of it is inside the seed. So if I plant an orange tree, I'm going to get an orange tree. If I plant an apple seed, I'll get an apple tree. Whatever seed you plant, the image inside of it will grow up, and the image knows what it is. So it doesn't matter what you plant. If I take a carrot seed and plant it, you know what's going to happen? It's going to grow an orange carrot. And somehow it takes that seed knows how to take the minerals that make it orange and the minerals, and it knows how to form a carrot. I've never planted a carrot seed, but you know, no one's ever planted a carrot seed and something else comes out, a kumquat. You plant a carrot seed, it produces carrots. You plant a cabbage seed, it produces cabbage. You plant an orange tree seed and an orange tree grows. And somehow within that seed, it knows how to pull and build from the image within the seed. Well, that's the same thing with the nature of Adam, the seed of Adam. It reproduced people born with a nature of darkness because Adam was twisted. So you and I came from this breath in chapter 2, verse 7. When God breathed into Adam, that's when the existence of all humans came from. So that's where we came from. That's where our first birth came from. That's where our birth through the water in our mother. that's where we came from. And that's why when a water breaks, the babies come in soon, because we're formed within that water inside of our mother. And so Jesus was born inside of Mary, but he didn't inherit the seed of Adam. That's why he did not have a father, but he had Mary, his mother, because his father, Jesus' father, was God, and Mary, she provided the body. So he was born legally through Mary, but here it says, again, I'll read it. I'm a little excited to share this, as you can tell, in chapter 3, verse 15 of Genesis. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. So he's telling the devil, see, your seed now was mankind. Adam turned, when he turned dark, he became like a seed for the devil, where he produced of his own kind children of sin. But now God says, I prophesied Jesus is coming through Mary, and her seed, or that seed, Jesus was a seed, is now able to reproduce. And that's why when we're born again of that nature of Christ. We're born because Jesus was sent as a seed. So let's now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Why is this so important? Because if you don't know this, you will accept salvation as being a commitment I made at church. I'm now going to heaven. Praise God. And that's it. Then you'll live the rest of your life by the outward man that you received from Adam, with his instincts, his knowledge, his desires, his plans. But the whole time you have an inner man that's born again by the new nature. And God has a new calling on you, a new plan that he wants to grow and develop inside of you, that he doesn't want it to go to waste. He doesn't want you just to exist on this earth and do some nice things. He has a specific plan for you. You are his child. He has a plan and a will, a design for you, a place in the body of Christ, but it will lie dormant if you don't develop it and grow in it and listen and obey. Because you'll have your outward man tell you over and over again who you are, but it's a liar. Your outward man does not know who you are. Your natural man has no idea who you are. Your past, the people from your past, have no idea who you are. Only God does, and that's where you need to find that knowledge from him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, a living being. So this is where God breathed life into Adam, like a seed, and he became a living being, a living soul that passed on the ability for us to come into existence. Thank God for that, because we didn't exist. Now, God did know us, because he's not a partaker of our time loop that we live in. He's free to travel in time and everything in existence forever. He's not limited by time. So what we're experiencing tomorrow, God's already experienced a billion years ago. So that's how he knew us before we were born. But we weren't created before that in heaven. We didn't exist until our parents, by the law of Genesis, by the seed of Adam, birthed us in our mother's womb. And so the first man, Adam, became a living soul, a living being. Thank God for that, because we didn't exist until then. So praise God, you are even existing. Now, if you're complaining about your past, it's time to get over it. It's time to move on from your past, because your past, no matter what or when or what happened, it doesn't have the power to stop you from growing in who God wants you to be. You're no longer a seed of Adam, you're a seed of Christ the moment you are born again. And that's what it tells us. Jesus, the seed, it says here. Verse 45, and so it was written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So Jesus, the seed from Mary, Jesus, the seed that we're born again of, gave us life, a life-giving spirit. He gave us life. Adam gave us existence, but Jesus gave us life. Before Jesus, you never had life, even if you were existing on this earth. The world's full of walking dead people because they're not born again. They're born with a nature of darkness, a nature of death. It's not death like a dead animal. It produces darkness. It produces death. That's why a little child, again, I've said this in a past video, but we believe that children, young children who die before the age of accountability, before they know the difference between right and wrong when it comes to God, that children that die from accidents or famine or even abortion, that God made a way through the new covenant for them to still go to heaven because of their innocence. And there they get born again and there they grow up. But once you enter the age of accountability and you must find Christ, you don't have to find goodness. Good people don't go to heaven. Only people who are born again, because they were born of the water and then of the Spirit. They're born again and receive the new nature of Christ. And so it's written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And then afterward, the spiritual. And that's all that means, is that you can't get born again until you're born. You must first come into existence. The natural must come first. You must first be born in the natural and then find God. The moment you're conceived, God starts working on a plan to get you to find Him to be born again. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust, and as in the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have been born the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So he's talking about the full process of being born again, and then the transformation, and eventually we receive a new body. But every child is born with a nature of sin. They don't need someone to teach them how to sin. It's their nature teaches them how to sin. I was recently watching a video on wild animals, and I watched them take some wild goats, you know, the mountain goats. And they were fighting, and it was so interesting to watch how they fight. They get up on their back hooves, and then they come down with their head, and they hit each other. It's amazing to watch them fight it. And I thought, well, where do they learn to fight like that? Because if you're a cougar, a cat, a wild cat, you don't get up on your back legs and come down. You sneak and attack, and no one taught the cat how to be a sneaky attacker. No one taught the wild goat to get up on its back hooves and to come down and clash heads. It's in their nature. Their nature teaches them. And that's the nature that taught you as a child to be a sinner. You didn't have to be born into a sinful family. Your nature teaches you. And I remember when Harrison, when he was a little boy, came home and he had something, I can't remember what he broke, something was broken or something happened. And I said to my son, "Did you do that, son?" And he looked at me. And you can tell, all of a sudden, it was like a light bulb went off. And you could see on his face, like he thought, "I have just discovered something. This is awesome. This is amazing. I've just discovered something. Wow, this is great." I said, "Son, did you do that?" And he said, "No." And it was like he thought he discovered lying. He thought, "I can do something and then just say I didn't do it. This is great. This is amazing." And you can see his face lit up with excitement because he knew that he had created, and he thought he had created lying. And so he was going to fool me. And he said, "No." I said, "Are you sure?" "I'm sure I did not do it." And then I gave him the speech. "Son, you get in trouble for breaking rules, but in our home, if you lie, you get in trouble even more for lying than what you're lying about. Do you know what a lie is?" And he said, "No." I said, "Lying means you make up a story. You don't tell the truth." And I said, "So I'm going to give you a chance to not get in big trouble for lying and just get in the usual trouble for what your disobedience was. But you only get one chance, so I'm going to give you a moment to think about it." And I said, "Now, did you do that?" And so he fessed up and said, "Yes, I did." I said, "Okay, Thank you for telling the truth. That's very big of you. I appreciate that. And I said, son, in our home, I want you to know. And I told him a fib. I said, mommy and daddy will always know when you're lying. Because you got to brainwash your kids when they're young to think that you know everything. That you have eyes in the back of your head. So they think they can't get away with anything. Son, your parents will always know when you're lying. Well, God always knows, but you know, I need my son to think that I always know. And so where did that idea of lying come from? I didn't teach him that. He has a nature in him, because every child is born with that nature from Adam until they find Christ. He had the nature in him teaching him how to lie. The nature of sin produces death and darkness at all levels. And your culture, your upbringing will determine the level of darkness that you will walk in. There's tribes where they will capture you and they will cook you and eat you. And they'll celebrate eating you because they don't have a conscience that that's a bad thing. Because that's how far the sin nature can take people into a dark, dark, darkness. That even the darkness of the devil. Because really, that sin nature is a byproduct of the devil. It was birthed inside of the devil. Sin didn't exist until the devil brought it forward in his own heart. And then he passed that on to Adam, and Adam took it, and that passed it on to the human race. And that's why the human race is really from the seed of the enemy, where we're the born-again nature, we're the seed of Christ. So the world can't really claim to be children of God. They can claim to be children of Adam, where their existence came from God, but not they weren't created in the image of God. They were created in the image of Adam, who by the time he reproduced, he was of a sin nature. So that we received our first birth, the nature of Adam, the nature of sin, but in our second birth, in our born-again birth, our rebirth, our new birth is a better word. We're born again into the family of God by the seed of Jesus. And it's so important we get this in us, this knowledge deep, deep into us, because you won't accept second best once you realize I'm of the seed of Christ. When the past starts to preach to you about your failings and your strugglings and your lack in your history, you can with confidence say, that's not me. That's not me. I'm not that man anymore. I'm not that person anymore. I am a child of God. I'm from the seed of Christ. I'm born again because Adam was brought to life by God's breath. That was the life that was given to the seed. That's where I came from, that breath. But then Jesus, when I was born again, God breathed on me similarly and quickened my new nature, brought to life something that was dead. He brought it to life. I was resurrected from the dead. Let's just go one more verse. Let's go to Romans. I'll just give you just another couple of verses here in Romans chapter 6. We'll start in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. So there's your answer. If you think it's okay to sin, grace is not there to let you sin. Grace is your strength to overcome sin, not to stay in sin. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? You no longer have a nature of sin because you have a new nature. Why and how would you live in sin any longer? Quit living like the world. Don't accept that lifestyle. Don't live like the world anymore because you're a child of God. You have the nature of God in you. Fight and stand and grow. Don't stay living by the world. This is the message today. You're of a new seed. You're of a new family. You have a new beginning at your new nature, gave you a new beginning. And if you don't know it, if you don't grow in the knowledge of God, you're going to stay just being pushed around by your flesh, by your outward man, for the rest of your life. The flesh doesn't disappear. The natural man doesn't just quietly fade off into the night. It's going to try to rule over you. You have to mortify it. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So it's saying the way that Jesus went and died, you followed him into death. Therefore, you were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we were united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So this is what all that means. When you went to the altar, however that was, and I remember the day I was born again, I knelt down, I asked Jesus in my heart. What it says is that act of confession of Jesus as my Savior. Now back then I had no idea what it meant, except that I was going to be born again, but into going to go to heaven. But what changed was a miracle, and I wish I knew then some of the things I know now. And that's the reason why these videos, I think, are so important, because that the truth of who I could be, who I was born as, would have pushed me and compelled me to not accept a life of the flesh pretending to serve God. So when I accepted Jesus, I went as Alan, born of the family of Taylor clan, of the family of Adam, of the seed of Adam. I walked up to the altar. And again, thank God for the seed of Adam, because I never existed until my parents made me. But I was born dead. I was born with a death nature. Not dead like an animal, but it produced death. And when I went up to the altar, I accepted the death of Jesus. Jesus was born into the same family that I was, legally, through Mary. And then he fulfilled the law perfectly, and then he took his life and he accepted the death of Adam into himself, and then he died and went to hell. That's when Jesus died, and that's the death he's talking about. So when I accept Jesus, I'm accepting that he took death so I could follow him into taking that nature of Adam and taking it down to death. It died. Alan died. The Alan that I was born died the day I accepted Jesus. I actually faced death. Every human faces two deaths. We face the death of our natural man, and then we face death of our separation from God. I was born separated from God. And so when I accepted Jesus, that death I no longer have to face. I no longer face a fear facing God, because I already faced the death of that nature. I've already died. So I died, that old nature died, God took it out of me, killed it, Alan died, and then was resurrected like Jesus was resurrected. I was resurrected instantly with a new nature. I'm now a new creature, a new creation of the seed of Christ. Jesus was the life-giving spirit. He gave life to my spirit. I was resurrected from death, and now I no longer fear being separated from God. I no longer fear facing hell. I no longer fear being distant from God, because I'm born of God. I'm of his nature. So the other death, where our body falls off of us, our body just falls off of us, but we live forever. That's why we must be born again, to accept that life-giving spirit of Christ that he wants to give to every person. He made a way for everyone to be born again, but we must take it by faith. It doesn't just come to us automatically. Doesn't matter how good you are, none of that matters, except are you born again? And then once you're born again, he expects us to overcome sin and not live in sin anymore. If we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly, this is verse 5, certainly we shall be also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. I'm born again. I am born of the seed of Christ. I'm born again by his nature. I'm a child of God. I have the life of Christ in me, because he's the seed that I came from the moment I accepted Jesus. We don't have to spend forever changing. We don't have to spend forever living in the past. We can get past all of that. We can go past it all and keep growing in the knowledge of God. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. You're a child of God. Too many people are proclaiming born-again people proclaiming they're a child of God, but not growing as a child of God. So they proclaim, I'm a child of God, I receive my blessings, I receive my healing, but they don't develop in the knowledge of God. They don't grow in the knowledge of God, and they're just spinning their wheels, and they're living out of their outward man. But we don't have to stay there. We can grow in the knowledge of Christ and grow in who God wants you to be, and you can overcome everything that comes your way, everything in life, especially your past. Stop letting your past rule you. Stop letting your past tell you who you're going to be. Stop letting your past, your family, your history tell you your future. You have a new future. You're no longer of the seed of Adam. You're of the seed of Christ. And nothing is impossible for you. Nothing's impossible. Let's keep pressing in. Let's not stop. Let's change this world. Let's let God change this world through us. Amen. We're His children. We're family, you and I, because we have the same Father. God is our Father. Jesus is the seed of the children of God. We're born again. Life doesn't stand a chance. We're going to change this world. Whatever you're facing, don't get discouraged. Don't be defeated, because your power, your strength comes from Him, your Father. Jesus made a way for His Father to become your Father. And God made a way for Jesus to come and be the final Adam, to be the seed, the life-giving spirit who gave you life. Your birth, well, the moment you're born again, it's like the place you got born again, there's a little burial plot right there where you were buried, and then the new you was resurrected. And eventually, all of you are going to be changed. Your outward body, everything will be transformed, and you'll be standing in eternity with God as a child of God, completely His. Who's smarter than God to make a way for us to be born out of one species, the children of Adam, and to be born into another species, and then to be transformed to where we live completely as that new man? Even our outward body will be changed. Who's smarter than God to make a way for that to happen, and didn't just make you disappear and restart, and some new creature standing there with your name, but you're not there? Who's smarter than God? He didn't squish you out. He found a way to get us to be born into... It's an amazing miracle. It's so diminished in our culture. It's an amazing miracle being born again. And you are that miracle. Don't give up. Don't settle for second. Let's press in to the high call of God and the great things God has for us. It's been a pleasure to be with you. God bless you.